I'd like to call to order the regular meeting. Now I understand the phone call better. Of the Town of Discovery Bay. It's a special meeting of the Finance Committee. And I'm going to turn it over. Let's get roll call, please.
Roll calls are taken. Let the record show. All members are present.
Perfect. This is the time for public comment. If there's anybody, does anybody on the line?
There's no one on the line.
Okay, so if there's anybody in the room that would like to make public comment at this point about anything that's not on the agenda, this would be the time to do that. And not seeing anybody in the room other than our presenters, I will close public comment. Do you want to make a motion to approve the previous minutes?
Motion to approve.
And seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Great. I'm going to turn this over to staff at this point.
Okay, well, I'd like to welcome our guest today. We have Rick Wood from USDA. He is their fiscal finance officer. And he brought with him Jerry Lay from Five Star Bank. So they're going to give us a presentation regarding transferring banks from BAC to Five Star Bank. And so they're going to walk us through their proposal and give us their offer.
Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
So the floor is yours, but I guess we would ask you to step up to the podium to speak because this is being recorded. So if whoever's going to speak, is that I wish we could bring the mics down to the table, but I guess we can't.
Yeah, you can pop them out if you'd like.
Is there a stand for them, though?
I do have a stand.
It might be better so that, because they're probably presenting, unless you guys, are you guys okay getting up to the podium?
Yeah.
Okay, that's okay, Dina, I'm sorry. I didn't know if it was going to be a dual.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Where'd Blair go?
Blair's over here with me.
Oh.
He's presenting.
Come here, Blair.
Thank you.
Bed. Yes, good girl. Okay, go ahead, sir.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jerry Legg, Senior Vice President, Government Banking Manager at Five Star Bank. And in your packet, your meeting agenda, I noticed the last two pages were a copy of the proposal that I had given you back in September. I did want to make one note, an adjustment to this. Previously, we were offering a money market account at 2% interest. That's a little dated. It would now be 2.75% interest. And I can put that in writing for you for the record. What the proposal is, having gone through your bank statements, there's a lot of adjustments that I would recommend making. But what Five Star Bank is proposing is to set up two analyzed checking accounts with an earnings credit rate of 2%. What an analyzed account does is you earn credits that offset fees. With a 2% earnings credit rate, you would have no fees. Everything would be free. You'd actually have a lot of excess funds. At the current bank you're at,
when you say current excess funds, what do you mean by that?
So, in terms of the amount of money that's needed to offset your fees, you currently have 20, well, I'm looking at...
Oh, I see. We'd be earning more than we'd be spending is what you're saying. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Thank
so
you.
So you've got about $21 million in balances. You would only need to keep about $2 million to cover your fees, and that would even give you a little cushion with that. Four of these accounts could be turned into either a money market account that's earning the 2.75% interest or a public checking account, again, which would be free. Anything above that $2 million would either be eligible to be put into a money market or invested through California Class or whatever other investments that Rick Wood is advising you on. You would be going from earning no interest to literally you're going to have probably at least $500,000 a year between all of your investments. On the banking side, everything is going to be paid for. That includes your checking accounts. We provide free checks. Your online banking, your ACH to do direct deposit, pay vendors, wire transfer, remote capture. We provide check scanners to you, however many you need. You would scan the checks. The only issue is we do not have a branch in town. So if you do have cash, you would have to maintain a local bank account.
We don't have a branch in town anymore either, so.
No, I know.
So,
can I interrupt? Sure. I'm better off asking questions as we go, so I'm sorry. I hope it doesn't feel like I'm interrupting. I'm just trying to engage.
Sure.
So how much are we currently paying in fees with the current banking process? Do we know that?
We're actually not paying a lot of bank fees.
Okay. So that part's a wash, more or less. We're not currently paying fees either. Okay.
We We are paid some fees. They're very minimal. It's mostly on the credit card side.
I'm sorry, guys. I hope
do we have
are you okay
legal,
with the dog?
Limitations as far as how much interest we can collect?
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
Do we have any legal limitations as far as...
No. Why is that $2 million significant? You talked about...
That earns earnings credits, which offset the fees that you would incur.
So that's a minimum, is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. All right, so I get that. All right. I'm sorry, now you may proceed. Yep, continue.
So some of these accounts, and let me just step back for a second. My background is I worked at the State Department of Finance for 3 years, and then I managed at the State Treasurer's Office for 8 years. And when I worked there, I looked at every dollar as if it was mine, kind of like what you guys do when you're managing public funds.
Mm-hmm.
Every dollar that we could reduce fees or every dollar we could earn additional interest, that's what I always try to do, and that's what I do here. So in terms of some of these accounts, like I said, it's easy for a banker to just put you on analysis and say, oh, you've got to keep $21 million here. That's criminal. You should not be doing that. And what we're going to do is give you better service, better quality of products with no cost, and you're going to earn interest. And then working with CSDA, California Class, it's going to actually give you a better overall package of services. You may be familiar, I know you know Rick here. You probably get CSDA magazine. We always have the ad on the back cover. We also provide scholarships to the GM Summit every year. We're the only bank in California that does that. We believe in supporting special districts. We have over 40 special districts as clients now. And we'd appreciate your consideration for this proposal.
Well, Jeff, I appreciate that. Currently, how much are we earning? We're not earning anything at this point.
Very minimal.
It's between a combination between the fact we didn't have our funds at the county all the time. We were kind of limited in our thing. So this is the time for us to be proactive, to look for better investments, to be more fiscally responsible to our constituents. Correct? Okay. Rick, do you have something you want to add to this?
He does. He always has something.
But I want to ask. I have a question for you, Rick, before we get started here, and that is. Do you know this firm and you have a relationship with Five Star? Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so he comes recommended by CSDA.
Correct.
Okay, just to clear that up and get that on the record. Go ahead. Floor is yours.
So I am, as Gina mentioned, I'm the finance director for CSDA. One of my roles that I love to actually play is that I get to actually be the CFO for several special districts that do not have the capacity to hire a CFO on their own. So it's kind of like a member service that we've been providing to a lot of our smaller special districts. And in doing that and seeing what a lot of these small districts go through, one of the things that I usually try to do, first off, make sure that their audits are clean, make sure that their finance policies are in place and clean and doing what they need to do, and then I fix their banking and I get their money invested so that they're actually having an opportunity to earn on the monies that they have. I 100% agree with Jerry, it's public money. You should not be paying a bank anything.
Right.
And they should understand that. A few years ago, I did a statewide search to try to find banking relationships for my members that would actually accommodate that exact statement. And in doing so, we found these guys. CSDA switched all of our banking from Wells Fargo, you probably know why, and we moved directly over to Five Star Bank. It's probably been, what, Jerry, 5 years now, something like that. And in the process, they came up with a program that they felt was met the intention of taking care of public funds. And I started using them at my little districts where I was the CFO. And I continue to do that. In fact, after this meeting, I'm going to Contra Costa Mosquito and Vector Control District, meeting with Paula, and we're going down the same exact path with those guys to try and make them some money on public funds. So what Jerry is proposing is something that I have in place at several districts that I work at, and in hopes that you guys have the opportunity to take advantage of that as well. And I should back up. I actually met Dina at an annual conference this last year, and she was participating in one of our California class, which is an investment vehicle for.
That was down in Palm Springs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And I stood up in the thing and said, look, if you are a special district, you're a member of CSDA, and you have an investment policy that you are not sure is in compliance with the government code, I'll review it. And we talked, and we actually went through that process for you guys. So I feel very comfortable that you're in a very good spot.
So at that point, we were establishing an investment policy because we really didn't have one. That we had to worry about meeting code because we really didn't have one.
What
right?
we did was we actually, our investment policy said we follow the county's investment structure because they were our
right.
treasurer. So that's
they were
our
fiscal sponsor, right.
So it completely was outdated when the count, we took over the funds from the county in August, September. Is that correct? August, September timeframe?
April.
So
time's going very fast.
but at that point, that's what we worked together with CSDA
yes.
on, and to make
yes.
sure that we were establishing a policy that met all the requirements for special districts legally
yeah.
and otherwise.
Yeah, and because now we have our own funds, I think it's our responsibility now to do the best with our funds.
Not only that,
right?
It's an opportunity that
it
we
is.
Didn't have before
it
because
is.
We didn't have those funds were just sitting in an account. They
right.
were making the money on it, you
they
know?
Were. And then even when we invested funds with the county, one, we couldn't get them out quick enough, and two, if we really needed them, and two, they were the administration fees were more than we were earning. So we decided to pull it out and leave it as cash. So now we've built up our funds, and we have different opportunities, and it's a different time that we should be able to put our funds into these different investments, different banks, different investment situations, and earn that money and earn that interest to be utilized back for this district. So.
Is that how the county operates?
They do, but they have a huge pool of money. I mean, their money is extensive. So and then, so they put it into LAIF, I believe. I don't think they utilize a bunch of different investment accounts. I don't really know.
They tend to put it in a few different places, mm-hmm. but they do take advantage of LAIF. Yesterday, LAIF's daily rate was 1.96.
Mm-hmm.
The investment program that we want to talk to you about at the next meeting is California class, and yesterday it was 3.82%.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So it's an opportunity to pick up, as Jerry mentioned, this is a great banking relationship that you're going to earn money on. You're not going to pay them, you're going to earn money. They're going to pay you.
What do you guys consider headquarters? Jeff?
Sacramento.
And are you regional, are you national, are you international, what are you?
We can be national. We do loans across the country. We're one of the top SBA lenders in the United States. We're in the top 40.
SBA small business?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But your focus is really California?
For public funds, yes.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
I only work in California.
Okay.
There's plenty of stuff here, 58 counties, thousands.
Yeah. And plenty of money. Is the what did we just get declared? The seventh largest economy in the world or something like that? Fifth largest in the world?
Yeah.
So, great. Brian, do you have any? So,
are the funds restrictive or unrestricted?
So, it's a combination. Some are unrestricted funds, some of them are restricted funds. But putting them into a bank or investment pool, that doesn't matter. It's still going to
hurt. Let me rephrase my question. I didn't ask it properly. Is the interest that we collect restricted or unrestricted?
Unrestricted. It goes into general fund.
Would be in...
It is unrestricted, right?
Yeah, it would, because it'd be monies not earned by the ratepayers, and therefore it would be available for us to use for any purpose we want.
That's huge.
I do have some special districts across the state that have specific types of funds that, like endowment funds, that the contract, the agreement is that you have to do X, Y, Z. And
we have
some
of those.
Things are that the interest reverts back into the actual fund itself.
Okay.
I'm not aware that you have any of those. When I read through your audit, I didn't see any of those. But
the only thing
so
I
yours would be unrestricted. Almost.
The only thing that we would check on prior to doing anything like that was is that we would make sure that by law, if we're collecting interest on Prop 218 money, that it doesn't have to go back to that same Prop. It probably doesn't. It probably can go into the general fund. But that would be the only thing that I could see any nexus that would be any kind of a problem whatsoever.
It is recorded separately on the audit below the line, so it's not considered operating.
It's general income. It would be general income.
It is definitely, from a transparency point of view, it is identified as such, but you have no legal requirements.
Right, because it didn't come out of their pockets. Right. It's like, yeah.
Right. And you're doing the prudent thing with their money.
Yes.
Well, you know, it'd be funny to be punished for that, but you know how it can be legally sometimes. No good deed goes unpunished, right? Do you have any other questions?
No, I'm just thinking, you know, $500,000 of interest a year, and that's a lot.
Yeah, no, it's not going into Parks and Rec, so don't get that glazed look in your face.
Damn, you know it too well.
Guess which committee he's on.
You know what? Honestly,
it, that's what I'm saying. It can be, it can supplement wherever the needs are. I mean, we have a need actually in Zone 8 right now for additional funds. So, I mean, we have, obviously, we can spend the money and we can spend it responsibly. But what is staff looking for from the committee here this morning?
When do you like the proposal? Do you have any other questions? And if you do like it, can we move it forward to the next board meeting for a review by the full board?
In that case, do you have any more, do you guys have anything else you want to share with us?
Yeah, in the packet that I had given you, just to kind of show you, we do specialize with public entities, and by doing that, there's certain rules that a lot of banks don't understand. You guys, as a public entity, are exempt from giving customer information. So you should never be giving your social security number, mother's maiden name, home address, home phone number. So in order to open the accounts in the packet I gave you, there's literally just two documents that's used. One is the contract for deposit monies. This is required per state law. And this says that the bank is required to collateralize and protect your money at all times. You sign it at the bottom of page 2 on the left-hand side. I sign it. That goes in perpetuity. Mm-hmm. As long as we have money from the town of Discovery Bay, it has to be collateralized. The other is a signature letter. This replaces the traditional signature cards that you may be familiar with. Hopefully not here at the town. But this allows us to identify the signers on the account over the phone. So what we typically ask for is driver's license information. That's not used to open up any kind of credit or accounts or anything like that. So we ask for driver's license number, issue date, and expiration date. There have been some customers that have said, hey, we're not going to provide that, like a sheriff at the sheriff's department. I asked, all right, what information do you have you can provide? He said a badge number. I said, fine, list your badge number. We'll use that on here instead of driver's license information. Again, this is to protect the signers. If there was a public request for information and this got out, nobody can perpetrate identity theft on you. So this protects you and it protects the bank. In the event that you guys do utilize wire transfers, we do a callback on every single wire transfer to verify. So we'll call back to Dina's cell phone or whoever is the contact person and make sure that that wire is legitimate. We take everything we do with public entities very seriously. Again, I've got over 12 years experience working at the state. I've been in public finance for 27 years. There's no other banker in California that's got the background that I do. So that's where the passion comes from, and that's where the partnership comes from. If you have any questions, I'll answer those.
I just want to make sure that legal reviews this here, because there's some language in here that I'm kind of not comfortable with, in the fact that if those are where our names go as signers, as being able to, there's an awful lot of powers granted to us based on these five items below that I don't think that as board members we should have the ability to do. Like, I don't think I should be able to enter into a loan because I'm a signer.
You would select which authorizations.
You with me?
So
please review that.
Yeah, so you have the authorizations and you put them.
Oh, okay.
You put them there.
Well, so just make sure you review, because we should not have that kind of power. Unless it's stated in a policy that it takes more than two, or in conjunction with the general manager, or however that language would read. Mm-hmm. But I don't want
that was way too vague for what I pulled out of there just right now. So, yeah, that's fine. Yeah. We're okay with that. It's basically a signature card. I'm sure all the things are big. We're going to be held responsible just like we are currently. So we're not really too concerned about that.
Out of curiosity, you had mentioned that the any deposits have to be collateralized. Mm-hmm. So I imagine there's regulatory agencies that verify that.
Right. So every Wednesday we have to report to the Department of Business Oversight at the state on how much collateral we have and how many deposits we have. So we use multiple forms of collateral. The government code allows you to use securities like U.S. Treasuries or agency paper. That's at 110% of collateralization. We also use the Federal Home Loan Bank letter of credit in San Francisco. That's at 105%. So we send that in and report it. The difference, why we use different forms, in the event the bank fails and the agency, the State Department has to go and seize that, liquidate the collateral, give you your money back. If it's treasuries, and those were bought 3 years ago, they were probably earning 0.2%. It's going to take a long time for those to mature because no one's going to want to buy those. So it may be some time before you get your money. With the Federal Home Loan Credit, letter of credit, you get your money the next business day.
That was good.
That's why we use that.
Jeff, actually, that was going to be one of the, as you mentioned, the amount of money that we're putting with you far exceeds any FDIC guarantee. So that was going to be the only other question I had for you is how are our funds guaranteed and what guarantee do we have under the very unfortunate circumstances? Something might happen to Five Star that would cause them to have to close their doors. What kind of guarantees do we have?
That's the collateral.
Okay.
That's all pledged.
Rick, this is a little above my head. You're on board with this, and you're secure that our funds would come back to us without much delay?
California Government Code, which we went through when we updated your investment policy, we included this as part of that your funds, public monies, must be collateralized
okay.
to the requirements in the government. What Jerry's talking about is actually in 53600 and
okay.
in the government code. They have to comply with that.
Okay.
So yes, I am very comfortable with the way that they treat public funds and that they follow the government code and they follow your investment policy.
So Jeff, would it be fair to me to say that because of the market that you're so involved in, you've taken the extra steps to make sure that your bank is collateralized in a way that meets all the obligations for the clients that you handle?
Yes, that's not done by me, that's done by our CFO.
I understood. No, I get it, but I mean, as the bank, you guys have, because
right.
this is the niche you're kind of working in.
Exactly.
You want to make sure you're complying, and not only that, you want to make sure that public funds are available as needed to be from the people that gave the funds.
Absolutely.
Well,
great presentation. I'm very comfortable with it, as you can tell. I think I kind of understand where you guys are going with it, and I think it's a great opportunity. Typically, I would say, hey, let's hear from two or three or four people, but Dean has probably already done that, and so I will trust that staff has done its due diligence, and that's why they brought you here this morning. And I think as a recommendation from the Finance Committee that we would recommend that this be moved forward to a future board meeting. So that you can present to the whole board and see if we can't get the ball rolling and get our funds in a place where it's going to be benefiting the community.
It's unfortunate we've done this 4, 5, 6 years ago. I mean, just all
you know, it's good we're doing it now.
Yeah.
Hey, the newly elected board is acting already. On the next day after the election, we're making money for the community. Can we get that on tape, please? Can we get that on tape?
Interest rates were super low back then, too, so
they were. It didn't
make well,
difference.
You know.
It makes some difference, but it wasn't the fire that was.
American Express just said, I just opened it. I'm making 3% with American Express right now. That's crazy. I just took a few out of another savings account or out of some extra checking accounts. I threw them in. And it keeps going up. It was 2.75 last month. It's 3.0 today.
As soon as we get you in this, you're going to be making close to 4%.
Yeah. So thank you, gentlemen. Let's jump on it let's get it while the getting's good because it may go right back down again. Who knows? But. But let's take it while they're giving it. Thank you for taking the time to get here across our one-lane highway. Hope that didn't mess you up. I'm heading out that way. I'm right behind you guys, so I got to go. Got to go to Sacramento. Oh, God, I've got to go to Sacramento, so I'm gonna hit the one-way bridge. Is there anything more, Dina? Do you have that?
No, that's all.
Accomplished. Okay. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you, gentlemen.